Let's read here from Psalm 28. It's a psalm of David. It begins in verse 1, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. When I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever." Just ending in verse 9, this wonderful psalm, much to encourage us tonight within the words of this psalm of David. I've been thinking about this psalm for quite some time, especially the words that are found in the middle of the first verse, where the psalmist cries unto the Lord and says, "Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." And I've just entitled this message very simply, "Speak, Lord. Be not silent unto me." There are times in the Christian life whenever it seems as if heaven above us is brass. Sometimes we pray and it seems as if there's no answer. It seems as if God is not listening. And there are also times that we can pass through whenever it seems as if God is not speaking. For example, in Psalm 13, verse 1, again, David prays and says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" And it seemed as if heaven was brass, and heaven was silent, and God was not on speaking terms with his servant. And then Psalm 35 and 22, "This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me." And it seems again as if God has fallen silent, and God is not speaking to the heart of the sweet psalmist of Israel. Psalm 39 and verse 12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were." And here again we see David, and it seems as if God has withdrawn his immediate presence from him. It seems almost as if God is a stranger and his heart is broken, his heart's heavy. He's weeping before the throne of grace, and he says, "Lord, hold not your peace. Lord, don't be silent. Lord, would you speak to my heart? I need a word from your throne at this time." And so on, we could go through the scriptures. Psalm 40, verse 17, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." And there are many verses throughout the Psalms where we see the blunt and brutal honesty of the psalmist. Sometimes whenever we read the Psalms, it almost seems as if the psalmist is being irreverent. But don't forget that he was inspired by the Spirit of God. And God desires truth in the inward parts. And if we feel as if God has forgotten us, and if we feel as if God is not listening, and if we feel as if God is not speaking, then let's come before the Lord and just tell him all about it. It seems sometimes that God has withdrawn his presence, as if God is silent. And that can be and is a very fearful and unsettling thing for a child of God. But even in saying that, I believe that that is one of the reasons why it happens. Because sometimes God wants to unsettle us. And sometimes God wants to stir us up, to pray a little bit more, to dig a little bit deeper, to press on a little bit further into the presence of God, and to cultivate within us a soul thirst for God. I believe tonight that sometimes God wants to unsettle us, and sometimes it seems as if his presence is withdrawn. For a small moment, he says, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And it's as if God has just removed his immediate presence, and the reason that he does that is to cause us to strive and to seek God's face. Remember those wonderful words in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord thy God, he stirreth up thee. And you think of those little eaglets that have hatched in the nest and they've been there for several weeks, and they're being fed every morning and every evening by Mother Eagle. They're warm, they're enjoying one another's company, the nest's warm, it's elevated, it's sheltered, mother does everything. The nest undoubtedly is lined with wool and with feathers and different things, it's comfortable, it's cozy. But the little eagle will never learn to fly unless it gets out of the nest. But getting out of the nest is a very fearful thing. So what does Mother Eagle do? She takes out those little comforts. And in their place of the wool and the feathers and the moss, she puts in thorns, briars, sharp stones, and the little eagles get very unsettled until at last they can't stay in the nest any longer and they get out, and that's how they learn to fly. And as they fall, Mother Eagle comes and catches them upon their wings and takes them up to heights that they've never known before, and it's all so that they might soar. You see, we can get very, very settled and very accustomed to going through the motions of having our quiet times and coming to church services and coming to prayer meetings. And we can become like the people of Jeremiah's day, whenever God spoke to them in Jeremiah 48, verse 11, where he said that these people have settled as wine upon the lees. They have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Now, we spoke on this, I suppose, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that text of Scripture, about the wine settling on the lees, and I don't expect you to remember anything that was said. I can hardly remember what I preached on last week, let alone 5 or 6 years ago. But for some reason at that time, the Lord just seemed to write that upon my heart. You think of the wine, it's emptied from one vessel into another so that it doesn't become too settled. And as the wine sits in the vessel, sits in the pot, all of the impurities sink to the bottom, and that becomes known as the lees. It becomes a thick, pasty substance. And then the wine is emptied into another vessel, and again the settling process continues, and then it's emptied into another vessel, and each time it's emptied from vessel to vessel, the lees become less and less and less, and the wine becomes purer and purer and purer and more refined. And if it settles upon the lees for too long, the taste becomes bitter. And so it needs to be emptied from vessel to vessel. And there are times whenever God, in our Christian journey, empties us again and again and again and unsettles us. And it's all with the purpose that we might be drawn closer to him and made more and more into his likeness. Now, Psalm 28, verse 1 has been a challenge to me over these last number of days or week or two. And it speaks about asking the Lord, be not silent unto me. God still speaks. And God speaks through his word. It's a living word. And whenever we come to the word of God, we need to ask the Lord to speak to us. Be not silent unto me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. And whenever we come to the word of God, we need to take it as God's living word to our souls, and prepare our hearts, whether it's coming to God's house or having our quiet time. Whenever you open the Bible, ask the author to open your eyes and open your hearts. Sometimes we have to dig deep. Sometimes we have to spend a little bit more time, and God doesn't want us to rush in and out of his presence, and he doesn't want us to panic. Sometimes he just wants us to wait and be still and know that he is God, and like the cow chews over the cud, slowly mull over the word of God until at last you know that the Lord has spoken to your heart. David here says, "Be not silent to me." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, speak. Lord, speak." I just want to say a few very simple things about this text this evening. You'll notice, first of all, very clearly, David's desire to hear God's voice. David's desire to hear God's voice. "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me." Then in verse 2, "Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." Now, it's so evident from that David is not just coming before the Lord with a token prayer. He's not coming before the Lord with empty words. He's coming before the Lord with earnest and real burdens and desires that he might hear God's voice. Now, we cannot be sure of what the circumstances are whenever this psalm was written. David passed through many trials, but there's nothing within the psalm that really suggests itself to any particular portion that we read about in Old Testament history concerning David. All we know is that David was going through trial, going through adversity. The ungodly seemed to be against him. He was concerned that the Lord perhaps had forgotten about him on some level, and we know that David was going through some sort of trial. And it's often the case that whenever we are in trials and difficulties come across our way, that our hearts are stirred up more than ever to seek a word from the Lord. That's one of the reasons, I believe, why God allows us to go through trials, so that we'll seek his face. Because whenever all is plain sailing, we can so easily become settled. But whenever something comes across our doorstep and into our lives or into our circumstances, and we know that we need God's help, that's the very thing that causes us to pray and to ask the Lord for a word. You see, I believe that Christians are generally at their best whenever they are being tried and whenever they're being tested. Psalm 119, verse number 67. You might remember these words from another time. Psalm 119, verse 67. The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." In other words, whenever there was no persecution, whenever there was no trial, whenever there was no affliction, whenever there was nothing that unsettled me, he says, "I just drifted like a cork in the sea, and I went with the tide, and I went astray. But now, having been afflicted, I have kept thy word." In other words, through this time of affliction, the word of God has become so real to my soul. And then in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, we can learn scripture off by rote, and we can memorize it, and that's a wonderful thing to do. We need to be doing that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you've learned the scripture. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You've maybe learned that verse off by heart. But have we really learned it? "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Have we really learned it? Because we'll not learn it until we have a burden that we cast upon the Lord and we're brought to the end of our tether. And then in verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." And David here is going through trial. And what does the trial do in his life? It cultivates or creates this desire to get a word from the Lord. David wants a word from the Lord. And he expresses that to the Lord. "Be not silent to me. Speak, Lord. Speak to my heart. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to get your mind in this. I need to get a promise. I need to receive comfort," whatever it is. And whenever we come before the Lord, come before his word, or come to a meeting, or we face difficulties and uncertainties, we need to pray the same way. "Lord, I need a word from you. I need to hear, Lord, your voice. And we need to come before the Lord with prepared hearts before even opening the book. We need to pray and say, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Or even whenever we come to a church service, Lord, speak. Give me a word in season. And I believe that if we come before the Lord with hungry hearts and with real desires, the Lord will speak. And God will speak to us. Can I challenge you tonight? Is it your desire to get a word from the Lord tonight? Has it been on your mind today? Now, I want to get to the prayer meeting tonight, and I want the Lord to speak to my heart and to speak to my soul. Or whenever you open the Word of God, is it just a matter? And it's so easy to get into this habit, ticking off the readings. I've read the Psalm, I've read a portion from the New Testament, I've done my daily readings for the day. That's that done and dusted, now let's get on with the rest of it. Now, it's always good to read the Word of God, even if we're not getting as much out of it as we should. We should always be reading the Word of God every day. But how much do we miss for want of asking the Lord to speak to our hearts? It should be our desire to hear the voice of the Savior, even as Mary did. Do you remember in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through to verse 41 or 42, the Lord went to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was cumbered about much serving, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And later on we read that Mary anointed the Lord with the ointment from the alabaster box. And the Lord said, she hath wrought a good work in me. She hath come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, how did she know that Christ was going to a cross? How did she know that he's going to be buried? Because whenever Martha was cumbered about much serving and taken up with all of the practicalities, maybe trying to impress the Lord by the work of her hands, Mary was hearing his voice. And the Lord revealed things to Mary that weren't revealed to Martha. You know, we can go for months, perhaps, without really hearing the voice of the Lord. We hear sermon after sermon after sermon. But folks, do we really hear the voice of God? Do we really come to God's house and get a word for him? David's desire to hear God's voice. Notice, secondly, a definite danger in not hearing God's voice. Be not silent to me, lest, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Now, the pit is a reality, and David here is speaking about a reality that awaits the ungodly. He realizes that there are multitudes in this present world, and they're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and they're going down the valley one by one, and they're going down into the pit of destruction. Or as it talks several times in the book of the Revelation about the bottomless pit. And it's really speaking about the eternal destiny of the ungodly. And here David says, Lord, if I fail to hear your voice, and if, Lord, you're silent to me, Lord, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to become like those who go down into the pit. I am going to become like the ungodly, because the ungodly do not really hear, in the truest sense of the word, God's voice. The ungodly don't heed God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But David says, Lord, if I get to the stage where I'm not hearing your voice, I'm just going to become like the unconverted. And that concerns him. And I wonder, are we conscious of God speaking to us in these days? Are we conscious of God speaking to us in these days? Because folks, if we're not, and that doesn't give us desires to seek after God and say, Lord, speak to us, give it a period of time and we will become just like the unconverted. If we're not constantly hearing from the Lord. I know I've told this story before, but it always challenged my heart. I remember listening to a sermon by the late Leonard Ravenhill, and he talked about taking meetings in a certain place, and after one of the meetings, a godly man said, "Mr. Ravenhill, I need to speak to you." And so they went into this little room, and this man confessed to just being in a spiritual wilderness. He talked about being cold at heart and all the rest of it. And he was involved in the church, and he was coming to the meetings. He'd help organize the very meetings that Ravenhill was speaking in. And they began to talk about things. And it was, "Well, is there any sin in your life that you're trying to cover up? Any besetting sins?" "No, I can't think of any." "Everything okay within the home, with your wife and with your family?" "Yeah." "And you're still coming to God's house?" "Yes." "And you're still having your devotions?" "Yes." And this went on. And he says, "Well, why is it that you feel that you've lost out with God?" And he says, "Well, no longer do I hear the voice of God the way I used to. I come to meetings now and I hear sermons, but I don't really hear from God. It doesn't seem to affect me the way it once did. I open my Bible, I read it, and I know that it's true, and I try to put into practice what I read." But he says, "I've lost that sense of the Lord speaking to me." And it was really concerning him, really burdening him, as it was here for David. Now, David recognized, if I am not conscious of God speaking to me and answering my prayers, I will become like the ungodly. I'll become like the ungodly. You see, as a Christian, you can only run for a certain while on empty. And that's concerning whenever you realize that the fuel in your prayer life and the fuel in your soul is going low. It concerns you. I left the house on the Lord's Day evening to go down to Belfast, and I thought I had plenty of petrol in the car. And when I got in the car, the needle was just a couple of notches above the red. And I thought, I'm going to really struggle to get to Belfast and back and what's left. And so I coasted down the hills and all the rest of it and was watching. And by the time I got back to Coleraine, the little thing was saying that there was 5 miles still left in the tank. And I went the next morning, and I knew that I probably wouldn't even get to the petrol station, because, you know, when you get the car warmed up and you know the engine gets warmed up, you get a little bit more economy. And I thought, I'll start this car tomorrow morning, it'll probably say 0 miles. So I got the fuel out for the lawnmower and topped it up with that, and got to the filling station. But I tell you, it doesn't give you a lot of peace of heart whenever you realize that you're running on empty. And spiritually speaking, whenever you're running on empty and you're not getting fueled by God speaking to you, you can only go on so long like that until at last you'll stall and you'll struggle. And David says in Psalm 143, verse number 7, something very similar, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth." In other words, "Lord, I'm getting weaker and weaker, and I'm running out of steam here. I'm running out of fuel. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." So in Psalm 28, he says, "Lord, if you don't speak to me, I'll become like the ungodly." Psalm 143, "Lord, if you don't answer my prayer, I'll become like the ungodly." You see, if we're not hearing God's voice, David's saying here, if I become like the ungodly, you know what's going to happen, Lord? I'm going to have no testimony. I'm going to have no influence. I'm going to have no God consciousness in my life. And I'll not stand out as being different as a child of God. And folks, is this not part of the whole problem in the evangelical church today? That God's people, in their attitudes, in their behavior, in their conduct, in their thinking, in their speech, in their conversation, in their desires, are a lot like them that go down to the pit. You know, if you read through Leviticus and Numbers, why did God give the Jewish people a certain way to dress? Just to make them look different? Why did he give them a certain diet? Why did he give them certain feasts to keep? Why did they have to do certain things and sacrifice certain animals? Well, God often clarifies it by saying that ye may put difference between the holy and the profane. And folks, it wasn't all just about externals. It was more, I believe, to remind them that inwardly, it was the circumcision of the heart that was the most important thing. You read that in the book of Jeremiah. They went through all of the outward ritual, circumcised the 8th day. And they wore their garments, and they had their locks long, and they washed their hands a certain way, and they abstained from pork and shellfish and all these different things. But whenever Jeremiah spoke to them, he said, circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. It's the heart, it's the inward life that works itself out. He says, that's the thing that needs to be so different. And whenever we look at our own lives, are we really different from the ungodly? Do we worry as much as they do? Do we fret as much as they do? Do we covet as much as they do? Do we gossip as much as they do? Do we act just like the world? The only difference is we go to church on Sundays and we talk about salvation and we say that we're going to heaven. Because folks, if we're not hearing God's voice, we will fret and worry and get discouraged and downcast and downbeat and as covetous, and we'll get caught up in the worldliness and the rat race and everything else, and all of the things of this world will become so important to us if we're not constantly hearing and getting a word from the Lord. You see, David, more than anything else, wants to glorify his God. And he knows he will never do that if he just seems to behave and think and act like the ungodly. And he says, Lord, if you're going to be silent to me, Lord, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to become steel. My spirit ultimately is going to fail, and I'll just lapse back into the old carnality of just going through the motions. A definite danger of not hearing God's voice. Notice, thirdly, the distinct difficulties of hearing God's voice. There can be many reasons why we fail to hear God's voice as we should. Now, we could spend months thinking about this, but I just want to list a number of them very quickly. One reason, one difficulty that's before us regarding hearing God's voice is iniquity, sin. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, God says, I am going to go away to my place till they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, he says, they shall seek me early. And God has been speaking, and God says, well, what I'm going to do now is, I've been speaking and speaking and speaking, and they're not listening, so I'm just going to remove my presence from them. And then some of them will notice, and that will create a hunger. And then whenever they're afflicted, outside of the will of God and the presence of God for their lives, they'll seek me earnestly then. Sometimes sin can stop us from hearing God's voice. Iniquity. And then something else that can stop us from hearing God's voice is idolatry. Do you remember the church at Laodicea? They didn't have any idols to Buddha outside their church or inside their church, as far as we knew of. They weren't offering incense to Moloch or causing their children to pass through the fire, but they were guilty of idolatry. Because they were rich and they were increased with goods. And they said, we have need of nothing. And all the while, the one that they did need was outside the door of the church, knocking the door and saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But they were putting their trust in material possessions and thinking, we've got enough manpower, enough machinery, the right methods, and enough money to run the church, and we don't need anything else. And what they were guilty of was idolatry. They were putting these things before the Lord, and they were enjoying themselves so much inside the church that they couldn't even hear the voice of the Savior outside the church telling them that he wasn't even part of the whole thing. Is that our problem tonight? And then there's the problem of indifference. Is it not true that we come to meetings and we have our quiet times and we read the Word of God, and if we're honest, we don't really care whether we get a word from the Lord or not? And we're apathetic, perhaps, and indifferent. And then idleness is another problem. Do you remember the Shunammite bride in Song of Solomon, chapter 5? And that little section from verse 2 to verse number 6, whenever she had gone to her bed, and then her beloved came and knocked on the door, and said, open to me, my sister, my spouse, my so on and so forth. And she said, no, I'm in bed. I'm not getting up now. And she just lay on. And the knocking continued. And then whenever the knocking stopped, and no longer did she hear the voice of her beloved, then she sat up and wondered where he was. Is something wrong? Why has he stopped knocking? And she went and she opened the door. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and he was gone. And she missed out on his voice and it caused her to go out and seek after him. But while she was lying in her bed and she knew that he was still there, she was kind of comfortable with that. But whenever the speaking and the knocking stopped, that was the thing that woke her up and stirred her up. And then inattentiveness is something else that can rob us from hearing God's voice. Do you remember Thomas? After the Lord had risen from the grave, and on the first day of the week, the disciples were all gathered together in the upper room, and it was evening, and the Lord came and showed himself to the disciples, but Thomas was absent. And the Lord spoke to his disciples. And then whenever the disciples told Thomas, the risen Lord was here, he says, I won't believe unless I can put my finger into the prints of the nails. And he didn't hear God's voice because of inattentiveness. You might say he didn't go to the evening service on the Lord's day and he missed out on hearing God's voice. And then insensitivity can hinder us from really hearing God's voice. We think here of Peter. Matthew 26, the Lord says, you know, to the disciples, he says, you're going to be offended of me. And Peter says, Lord, if all men are offended, I won't be. And then the Lord says, listen, Peter, before the cock crow, you will have denied me three times. And Peter didn't even listen, and he just went on and says, Lord, it'll not happen. And the Lord said it again, and Peter just said, it'll not happen. And the Lord was speaking, and Peter was so insensitive to what the Lord was saying, the word of God was going in one ear and out the other. And it wasn't until he let the Lord down that that came back. And then inflexibility can hinder us from hearing God's voice and what the Lord might want to say to us. Isn't it the case, isn't it true, that sometimes we have God in this little box? And unless God says a certain thing or works a certain way or does it the way we perceive that he should do it, we'll not think or allow God to work outside of our time scale and our schedule and our beliefs and our ideas. And yet God says, behold, I will do a new thing. And then incorrect teaching can hinder us from hearing the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah 14, verse 14, the Lord speaks about false prophets in his day. And God warns the people and says, listen, they speak in my name, but he says, I haven't spoken to them. And they run, but I haven't sent them. And they go out and they tell everybody, peace, peace. There is no peace. And they listen to that. And they take it to be the voice of God whenever all the while it isn't. And then imitation can hinder us from hearing God's voice. Back there in 1 Kings chapter 13, and verse number 18, we read about a certain individual who was a self-styled prophet, and there's a lot of them running about today that get words from the Lord and say, God has told me to tell you. Do you ever hear people saying that? God has told me to tell you. Well, if God wants me to know that, God will reveal it to me. And in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18, we read about a certain man. He's on a journey. God has told him what to do and where to go. And it says in 1 Kings 13, 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. It wasn't the voice of the Lord at all. And you need to be very careful about people imitating the voice of God and saying, I've got a word from the Lord. God has said this. Well, folks, if they speak not according to the prophecy of this book, it's because there's no light in them. And then introspection can hinder us from hearing God's voice, looking inward for feelings and emotions. And a lot of people nowadays say, well, you know, God told me to do a certain thing. You say, how do you know God told you to do that? Well, I just felt like it. I had a desire to do it. And they take it as being the voice of the Lord. And very often, it's just their own foolish desires. Or I don't feel like doing a certain thing. Or they get stirred up emotionally and they're on a high or they're on a low. And they just take feelings to be the voice of God and almost get round Scripture by trusting in their feelings. And it's just introspection. Instead of looking to the Word of God for light, they look inward for light. And then inconsistency, a lack of diligence. Reading the Bible for a day or two and then leaving off for a week or two. Coming to God's house for a meeting or two and then falling back again. And this up and down inconsistency robs us from hearing God's voice, because God wants us to wait in His presence and be consistent. And then just being implacable, being hard. The Bible says that our hearts can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And folks, all of these different things can be related. But the challenge tonight is, are we giving God opportunity to speak to our hearts? Are we asking God to speak to us? Are we willing to hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God applying it to your hearts? Then this is the way. Walk ye in it. Or is it the case, well, I'll be willing to hear God's voice as long as God tells me what I want to hear? Sometimes you don't want to hear God's voice in case God says something other than what we want to do. It's very often the case people say, God told me to do a certain thing, and it was the thing that they wanted to do anyway. God never seems to tell people to do something that they don't want to do. He always tells them to do the thing that they do want to do. But if we sit and wait like David and cry unto the Lord, we need to be willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. So we've thought about David's desire to hear God's voice, the definite danger in not hearing God's voice, the distinct difficulties to hearing God's voice, and then in closing, the decided delight whenever we hear the Lord's voice. It's a wonderful thing whenever the Lord speaks to your heart. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? And boy, they were discouraged, and everything that they hoped for, they thought had gone, and the Savior had been crucified, and His body was missing, and they were just thinking this is the end of it all. And then the stranger came whenever they were on the road to Emmaus, and he says, what are these boys so downcast about? Why is your countenance so sad? And they said, have you not heard? And of course the Lord knew that from before the foundation of the world, that He would be crucified and laid to rest in the tomb and would rise again. And then He begins to speak to them from the book, from Moses and all the prophets concerning Himself. And then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He spake to us by the way? The psalmist said, I did find thy words and I ate them, and they were the rejoicing of my heart. You know, it's a wonderful thing whenever the Lord isn't silent to you, and maybe you're worried about something or concerned about something, and you get a word of confirmation, and God through his book confirms something in your heart. Maybe you're struggling with assurance, and then the Lord gives you a promise. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And the Lord confirms that He's really saved you through the Word of God. Or you're praying about a certain issue and you're thinking about something and you're wondering, is this what God wants me to do? And you come before the Lord and say, Lord, be not silent to me. And the Lord gives that word of confirmation regarding your thinking. This is the way, walk ye in it. And you know this is the will of God because He's spoken. And then whenever God gives a word of comprehension, and there's maybe something we don't understand, maybe some truth about God or some aspect of the Christian life, and we struggle with it and we wrestle with it, or but there's a verse of Scripture, a portion of Scripture, and we say, Lord, I can't understand this. Lord, would you speak to me and help me to understand it? And then the Spirit of God begins to open your understanding. And you know that the Lord is speaking, and the Word of God is coming real to you. And then God can speak in a word of comfort. And things get on top of you. And you feel heavy. And you feel that nobody cares. And then the Lord draws near and says, all things work together for good. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord has spoken a word of comfort in the midst of trial. Or you're looking for guidance and the Lord gives a word of counsel. And you're praying about some aspect in your life and you just don't know what to do. Do I go down this road or not? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then you discover that his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then maybe we're going the wrong direction or we've done something and the Lord comes and gives us a word of correction, because the scriptures does that as well. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, righteousness. And sometimes the Lord has to correct us. But even whenever we know it's a word of correction and it's sharper than any two-edged sword and it hurts, there's comfort in knowing, well, at least God's still speaking. He doesn't speak to the goats the same way that he speaks to the sheep. So is it your desire tonight to say, "Speak, Lord"? Did you come to the meeting tonight seeking a word from God? Did you get one? We trust and pray that God will indeed speak to your hearts in these days.